ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and
I'm passing out to you a little kind of verse outline of several chapters, a verse summary, verse by verse summary.
Well, sometimes there's a group of them, as you'll see. Just to get you an overview of the idea, do I have a copy?
I printed this out on my own little printer that we brought all the way from America, so I wouldn't have to bother anybody else. There's four pages here, one chapter each page, starting with 16. So here you can, let's just look at chapter 16, just get a sort of global idea of what's in there, right? We went through a little bit of this in detail yesterday. Here you see in italics, I try to say who the speaker is, right? So Raja is the Maharaj Prakshit, and the Rishi is today Goswami. I think it says Raja Vajra Rishi, something like Rishi. So here he says, as we discuss, he wants more information about Bhumandala. You mentioned it in passing. And now I'd like to hear a little more about this, and especially in the third text about the Stula Rupa, the universal form. And Prabhupada had a very interesting purport which we looked at about how seeing everything in relationship to Krishna. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says in his purport that really Maharaj Prakshit is way beyond this sort of meditation. But he's coming back just for everybody's benefit. He's not really interested so much in geography and so on. But he wants to know. And it's, to me, it's a significant factor. Here's a person who has not very many days to live. I don't know how far they're in, what the speed they're going. To fix his mind on Krishna, and still at this time, he wants to hear about all this stuff. It's just it's definitely in relationship to Krishna. And Prabhupada was always had the attitude that if it's in relationship to Krishna, it's worthwhile, even if it's not. Rasa Leela or something like that. Yes?
Yes, parallel to Prabhupada in his final days was talking a lot about the Sri Ramadan Maharaj, about Krishna societies, and I heard the long Krishna Maharaj interrupted that Prabhupada had Kirtan and that this is Kirtan.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. I have on my computer, there was in July of 77, there were a number of long conversations about Bhumandala. Some people were trying to prepare drawings for Prabhupada. Tamal Krishna was there. Maybe we'll get to it today, because they raised an interesting question. And it's worth just going through the question of if Bhumandala is flat. We all have the experience that you can fly west and keep on going and come back around again, so it looks like a globe. It's just very interesting. But just look at Vita, how Prabhupada answers this question. Because Tamal Krishna persists in pushing him. So over several days, there's like, we'll get to this. But Devi was talking about this in the final thing. So here, after this, then he begins his discussion. So 5 through 10 is just a kind of overview of Jambudvip itself. Jambudvip is a central island surrounded by the saltwater ocean. Bhumandala itself is described as a lotus, like a lotus flower. And then the Jambudvip has 9 regions. This is Varshas, nine varshas, defined by eight boundary mountain ranges. Do you have a picture of it in your head? I'm trying to draw you a... I can sketch a map, but I don't know how to use Microsoft Paint well enough to make a decent map. We'll try to get you a map. But I realize there isn't actually one in the books. Maybe nobody has a convenient way to look at this.
He has
one there. If you've seen that one, but I gave you a little schematic diagram on a square, right? So there's three southern varshas. East means when you're looking at this, east is to your right, right? Yeah, I mean, like, we can do that. We can make a little drawing. If you'd be helpful with it, I mean, is it worthwhile? Do we have
a visual?
Yeah, okay. You want to do it?
You can do it. Unless you want to do it.
Well, go ahead. I mean, I don't want to just make a big circle, I guess. You could do a big circle, right? Okay. Now, okay, and just beyond, now the middle varsha is called Ila Rita Varsha. It is, we're going to use numbers, 32, which means 32,000 yojanas. The yojana problem says is 8 miles, and that's about 13 kilometers for those who are used to a little rational system. And so you notice that the top of Meru is 32 yojanas in diameter. This means the edge of this thing is 32 yojanas. Yeah, you don't have to put all these in here. It's 32 yojanas. The base is 16. So the base is like somewhere down in here, right? Because it's an inverted cone. You know? But since the middle varsha, why don't we draw a line right above here and right down here? They're pretty close here, right?
This is the mountain range.
Yeah, this is a mountain range, northern mountain range. But actually, and
there's two here?
Yeah, one here. Yeah, they're pretty disconnected. Connected, yeah. There may be passes up there. But really, you see already, this now you have
one and two.
They're equal. These are nine yojanas each. This is 32, this is 34 yojanas here. And they're not going to be exactly right, but, right? And the same with down here. So this is your basic, this is the varsha.
See, jungle.
There's a jungle. Everybody up there. Okay. You know what's up. Right? So this is north. This side is called north. This is north, right? So, the names of these ranges are given. Each one of these two. This is Gandha, Madhava, and so on. But you should understand that really, this distance here is also, this distance here is 34 yojanas. 9, 9, and 9.
Mm-hmm.
999. This is 34. And each of these mountain ranges is 2 yojanas. And when I say 2, I mean 1,000. 2,000 yojanas. I mean, these are big numbers, you know.
That's
34. So you realize, actually, that between the edge of Sumeru from the top to the border, it's just one yojana. This is 32.
Yeah.
This is 34, so there's one yojana on each side. So whatever else is in there, it's almost all covered. But Sumeru goes up 84,000 yojanas. It's 100,000 yojanas high. 16 is under the ground. Like a tooth that's rooted. And so.
The base is 16.
Yeah, I'd sit down and do some trigonometry, I mean, you know, jar it and figure it out. But even though this goes out very far, it's also extremely high. Extremely, so you still must get a lot of sunlight. Okay, so this is, these are each nine. Each varsha is nine rows in this line. Each one is nine yojanas. And these mountains are two yojanas. 2,000 yojanas. I'm sorry, I'm not 1,000. I know I was. You have to write K after it.
KY.
Yeah, KY, yeah. That's right. And you can just think of 8 miles or 13 kilometers, whatever you prefer, the system of measurement is. So if you add that all up, it comes to 100,000. I'm here to make sure. So that's what it looks like with these varshas, right? So the names of them, here we are, this is Bar Harsha, right, going to the south. That's why sometimes Prabhupada said sometimes India, because these mountains is called the Himalayas, so that looks like India, right? Himalayas in the north, the ocean in the south, like that. Kim Purusha? You know what Kim Purusha means? The word?
What kind of
mountains? Who are these guys? Their mothers are Yakshas and their fathers are something else. I forgot what it says in Mahabharata. They're kind of this is Hari Varsha. Yeah. Ketuma, yeah.
They're ape-like
beings. Huh?
I thought they're ape-like
beings. Well, they may be. I don't know if there's anybody who says that. Who's worship here? Actually, because Hanuman is here worshiping Ramchandra, so they should think so.
Yeah.
And maybe up in the Himalayas, you know, the Yetis, the abominable snowmen, maybe there's some connection. But anyway, they call it Kim Purusha. So that you can just, and it's sort of like a mandala, this yeah, Kuru Varsha. Sometimes it's called Uttara Kuru, you know, extreme north up there. Uttara Kuru, Ramyaka. Okay, so that's basically now the whole setup. And it also says that all of the Bhargavarsha are really a kind of Bhumi Swarga, heaven on earth. Although it's interesting
to note that when in the Mahabharata Arjuna is depicted, he has to conquer the world, right, Maharaj Yudhisthira. And so this is considered. Also, Parikshit is supposed to have gone to all of these varshas. How? I was wondering how you conquer but what it says is that Arjuna was able to go through Kim Purusha Varsha. When he got to the border of Hari Varsha, he was stopped by people who said, you know, you can't go here anymore, you're not allowed. And he said basically, well, you know, he explained that Yudhisthira is going to perform a Rajasuya sacrifice. So they gave him tribute at the border. And he never crossed into Hari Varsha. But Prabhupada says here, let me see if I can find it, just to give you a notion of the kind of things that are going on.
Where was Maharashtra situated? He was ruling the
universe.
Huh? Where was he situated?
He's in Bhart Varsha. I mean, Kali Yuga comes in, you know, he's also in Bhart Varsha.
He's there. This is from the chapter how Maharaj Prichit. What happens? Okay, how Maharaj pictured to see the age of Kali. Is this as big as it gets? I can make this bigger, can't I? It should go bigger, huh? Anyway. Maharaj Prakshit then conquered all parts of the earthly planet, and it's mentioned Bhadrashva, Ketumala, Bharata, the northern Kuru, that's Uttara Kuru, huh? Kimpurusha, and so on. The Varshanis, he conquered them and exacted tribute from their respective rulers, it says. So this is interesting that he crosses there. And then here Prabhupada makes some early, some comments where to look for these. Bhadrashva is a tract of land near Meru Parvata, that's now Meru. And it extends from the Gandhamadanam Parvata, that's that border mountain is called the Gandhamadanam East. Madana Mountain. And so there's a description there. Maharaj Yudhisthira also conquered this Varsha, Maharaj Yudhisthira. Then thus this province was included within the jurisdiction of his empire. He says he conquered it. So Maharaj Picture was formerly declared to be the emperor of all the lands ruled by his grandfather, who's Yudhisthira and so on, but still he had to establish his supremacy. And then Ketumala, the earth planet is divided into seven dvipas by seven oceans. Now he calls it earth planet. He calls it Bhumandala earth planet. And the central dvipa called Jambudvipa is divided into nine varshas, or parsed by eight huge mountains. This is the first introduction in the first canto, 16th chapter, right? It's the first you ever hear about this. I remember when I read this, I thought, what are we talking about? Bharat is one of the above mentioned nine varshas, and Ketumala is also described as one of the above varshas. Ketumala is very interesting. When we get to the inhabitants and what they do there, it's really far out. It's one of the more far out worships that goes on there. They're worshipping, Lakshmi Devi is worshipping Kamadev or Pradyumna there. And the prayers are all about how everyone is a woman in relationship to God. It is said that in Ketumala Varsha, the women are the most beautiful. This Varsha was conquered by Arjuna also, so here it says. So I haven't looked these, I haven't had a chance to look all these up, but we are compiling them all. This is on the western side of Meru Parvata. The inhabitants used to live up to 10,000 years because, yeah, it's human beings living in this part of the globe are of golden color, and the women resemble angels of heaven. The inhabitants are free from all kinds of diseases and grief because it's Loma Svarga. Bharat Varsha, and there's two chapters in the Mahabharata about Varsha. And then there's this Ilavritta Varsha, this Hari Varsha, and so here you have the women are good, very good to look at. People are flying around in the Vimanas and so on. They're like the Apsaras. Uttara Kuru, see here it's called Uttara Kuru. And Kimpurusha, yeah, so here he gives this, like when you read this, 80,000 miles in length, that's the across, so Maharaj Yudhisthira, he went there and they were present. It is said that Shukadeva Goswami was born in these Himalayan provinces and came to Bharat Varsha after crossing them. So it seems like from what we see, it seems like Kimpurusha Varsha is the sort of not as
remote from us as the others. And so there it says. But that's, this is what they're mentioned, these varshas. So if you read the text, you'll see there's the names of the mountain ranges and the. So the center varsha, Ilavrita, contains the golden smero, and here the dimensions are given. I don't know if you people are reading any of these texts ahead of time, but if any questions come up, now's the time to do it. Okay. Yeah?
Is it definitely ruled out that this earth is a globe and rotates?
We'll get to that. Yeah, we already got this far. Yeah, the middle varsha, the nine. Okay. And then, Sumera Mountu, which is made of gold. It's like the pericarp of the lotus Bhumandala. I showed you the picture of the lotus. You know, you can really see what he means if you have never looked closely at the lotus. The mountain's height is the same as the width of Jambudvip. 100,000 yojas. 16 within the earth, 84 above the earth. 32 yojanas wide at its summits and 16 at its base. That is where it enters into the earth. And it's gold. You know, Sadakut and everybody depicts it as just a smooth, you know, perfectly uniform geometrical figure. I don't know that it's like that. Like, you could have something that's, you know, you could have a mountain that's made of gold and has some dirt on top and flowers and trees and stuff. I really don't know if it's like that. It mentions that Kadava Muni takes Devahuti, it says, to the pleasure gardens on Meru, but it couldn't refer to the mountains at the base of Meru, because these valleys are usually there in the surrounding, the belt mountains. So then we go north, you see the mountains. Between the next mountain range up is called Nila, then Sweta and Shringavan. And then below, these three varshas, Ramnika, Hiran, Maya, and Kuru. And so the width, that is the thickness as you go up, is 2,000 yojanas, 16,000 miles. So the length has to decrease because, of course, you're getting next to. So about 10%. It's what it means is that not the length is one tenth, but that it decreases by one tenth is what it's trying to say there. And then here, because he happens to mention the moon in his. In his description, this quotation about Rahu, he mentions Rahu. We suggest that modern expeditions attempting to reach the moon are mistaken to go under Rahu. That's one of his explanations, one of Prabhupada's explanations. That's where that is right here. This is also interesting. Now we go south. Again, the boundary mountains are given. And the names of the varshas in Bhart Varsha, and then in brackets Prabhupada puts Indian. So sometimes he does this. Sometimes he actually, you know, he speaks of this as I'll show you one place if you want to see it. We're on the topic. I think I bookmarked it. Uh,
Nope, they can't find it now.
You know, I'll pull it up where Prabhupada describes Jambudvip as Asia, part of Europe,
in one of his purports. So then we go west and east, the Malyavan and that mountain to the left is Malyavan, and the other mountain Gandhamadana. Again, these are shorter. The others are much higher. These are only 16,000 miles high, and extend as far as Nila Mountain in the north and Nishada. So this is the. Now here, Prabhupada, I mark this because, again, these are Prabhupada's clear statements. Shukadeva Goswami has already stated that such calculations would be very difficult even if one had the duration of life like that of Brahma. We should simply be satisfied with statements of authorities like Shukadeva Goswami and appreciate how the entire cosmic manifestation has been made possible by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The measurements given herein, such as 10,000 yojanas or 100,000 yojanas, should be considered correct because they have been given by Shukadeva Goswami. Our experimental knowledge can neither verify nor disprove the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. We should simply hear these statements from the authorities. If we can appreciate the extensive energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that will benefit us. This is Prabhupada's throughout. We just take it like it is. Everywhere. He never says this is a metaphor. He never says it's symbolic. He never says it's anything. We all know this. And it's really amazing to say this because it says, so where are they? Where is it? How do we see it? You can't see it. Now, on the four sides of the great mountain known as Sumeru are four mountains, Mandara, Meru Mandara, Suparshva, and Kumuda, which are like its belts. The length and height of these mountains are calculated to be 10,000 yojanas. So, we can't show it on this map, but around here, again, you start to the east, right? So this is Mandara Mountain. And then the next one is, what does it say? Yeah, Meru Mandara. Suparshva and Kumuda. They're right around here. Now, Sadhguru depicts these as kind of, when it says 10,000 yojanas, it's like a chain, a long thin chain of mountains. However, I have a little doubt about this because Mandara Mountain is very famous. And one thing it was done was use a churning rod. It was uprooted and used as a churning rod for the churning of the ocean. It can't be long. It has to be somewhat round, you know. But if you take 10,000 yojanas as its diameter, it won't fit inside the Uluvatthavati because you only have 16 here, and if each are the same size, it just doesn't fit. Plus, there are other mountains. So I, at this point, I'm a little baffled. I mean, I'm thinking one day Prabhupada wants us to make exhibits. So we have to research and see what commentators, have they said anything about this? Did they pull a part of, or just a peak? Or did they chop off some for their purposes? I mean, I don't know what went on. But it's as far as I can understand from the commentators, they seem to think that this is the north-south length of it.
and it's not that wide, but it has to be wide. It has to be somewhat round. I don't know how they did it. Anyway, this is a famous mountain. Meru Mandara. The others are less well known. But we will look here for a minute, because Mandara is very famous and it shows up in many, many places. And I just want to give you an inkling of that by... I see why this is narrow, because my whole screen is narrow. Let me just turn this off for a minute and get the file up. To see me awkward searching around my computer to find the file. Mandara Mountain. Here's some information. I just made this little compilation. I decided to look around and see what it's about. So here, this is from the first statement. You know, it's one of the four great mountains. Oh, Prabhupada calls it a belt mountain. And I want you to look at this. What he says, like it's belts, right? The word is avashtam giraya. The word avashtamba means leaning or resting on. So that was there right up against Meru. On the four sides.
No,
I don't think that's why it does. It's just they're just very, very close. I think they're almost touching or almost touching.
Avashtam. Avashtam again, you know, leaning on or resting upon.
The leaning on or resting upon.
Maybe.
The belt leans or rests upon. You know,
yeah, yeah, it's holding. Touch with, it's holding.
Yeah, touching.
Well, it's not holding up. It's holding your pants up.
Well, so it appears from this.
But to belt means to go around. It's on the four sides.
Yeah.
It may be also that they're curved, you know. I mean, it may be that they really fit snug all the way around. Huh?
If they touch the other mountains, they can be up to nine.
Yeah, that's right. I figured that out, too. They're like an oval. They could be an oval. Yeah, yeah. Then you got to figure out where there's two other mountains, north and south, where they fit in. Plus the filament mountains. I've been trying to figure it out, but I don't have, anyway.
We can come to it, what I'm seeing, the bottom of Meru.
16?
Yeah, 16. And it's how many thousands of yojanas is...
34.
No. What's the distance between the base of Meru and the mountains?
Like this?
9,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And Meru is 84,000 above the ground.
Yeah.
And then you go 10,000 miles up.
Yeah. Yojana.
Yeah, Yojana. So it's about 9,000 distance.
You got to calculate the slope. By the way, we don't know the slope here. We have to do some solid spherical geometry, right? It's a cylinder. And we know that the radius is of the diameters of the two sides. We can calculate, and the length of the thing, we can calculate the slope. You remember those formulas from the 12th grade or 8th grade or whatever it was? It is trigonometry. Yeah, you guys use trigonometry then?
Yeah.